deliberately sabotaged the dome, he said, keeping his voice low.
What?
She turned toward him, her eyes wide with surprise. He's got what he thinks is evidence.
He's daft.
I hope so, Jamie said.
I'll talk to him about it, she said,
bringing her cup to the table and sitting next to him. No, wait. Let me see what else he comes up with first. BJ gave him a sideways glance, unconvinced, but then nodded and said,
If that's what you want.
Dex's father wants to bump me, he heard himself say. The words surprised him. He had convinced himself several times over not to burden her with this problem.
I was wondering when you'd get around to talking about it, she said.
He felt an instant of shock, then realized that there were no secrets in this hothouse they lived in. So everybody knows about it, he said.
Of course, she said, sitting beside him. We've been wondering what we can do to help. You know, send a petition to the ICU board, threaten a job action, whatever.
A job action?
Go on strike, she said. Sit down on our butts until Trumbull stops harassing you.
She took a sip of the steaming tea, waiting for him to respond. Looking into her lustrous black eyes, Jamie realized again how beautiful she was. We've got this whole world to explore, he said to her. We can't go on strike. That wouldn't help anything. She replied, Do you have any better ideas? I've been thinking about it.
And?
Trumbull's threatening to hold up the funding for the next expedition.
Using it as a hostage, I know.
I can't let him stop the next expedition, BJ. That would be criminal.
How can you stop him, then?
He leaned back and stared up into the darkness. For long moments there was no sound except the soft chugging of the life support pumps, the faint whispered hum of electrical equipment, and the high, barely audible sighing of the night wind outside, the breath of a world calling to him. Then he heard VJ exhale and realized she had been holding her breath, waiting for him to answer. I could resign, he said flatly.
Resign?
Step down as mission director. After all, I'm here on Mars. He can't call me back to Earth. I'm here for the duration of the expedition. What difference does it make if my title is mission director or bottle washer? VJ banged her cup on the table so hard that tea sloshed out of it.
You can't do that, Jamie. You can't.
Why not?
What does the title mean?
It's what we do here on Mars that's important.
But he'll put Dex in charge.
I don't think so. I think the rest of you will get a chance to express your opinions. A vote, maybe. She shook her head vehemently.
That would tear us apart, Jamie. Some would vote for Dex, and anyone who didn't would be perceived as a vote against him.
Yeah, he admitted. Maybe so.
You can't step down. That would ruin everything. I don't think... You want to go out to the cliff dwelling, don't you? Do you think Dex would approve that?
I don't think Dex would be named director, he repeated.
And who would?
Stacy would be my choice.
She's not a scientist.
Then Craig.
Wiley? Do you think he has the respect that you do? Can you see Fuchida following Wiley's orders?
It's not a matter of following orders, he said.
Of course it is. That's what the mission director's position is all about.
Jamie shook his head. Come on, VJ. I don't give orders to people. We all work together. She sat up rigidly and tapped the tabletop with one manicured fingernail.
You don't give orders because you don't have to. Everyone here respects you tremendously. Don't you understand that? You lead by example. You're a natural leader.
So is Dex, according to you.
Dex wants to be what you already are. He's not there yet.
And if I give it up? Resign?
Jamie could barely force the words out. And Dex is named mission director. What will you do? She drew in her breath sharply as if struck by a blow. For long, agonizing moments, she was silent.
What will I do?
VJ echoed, her voice so low he could barely hear her.
About us, Jamie whispered.
She stared at him. I mean...
My God, Jamie, she said, her voice trembling. If you think I'm sleeping with you just because you're the boss man here, if you think I'll prance off to Dex's bed if he's named director,
I... But you said...
You're an idiot, she snapped. a damned fool, bloody idiot.
She stamped off toward her own quarters, leaving the mug sitting on the table in a small puddle of tea. Jamie watched her go, telling himself that she was right. I'm an idiot. Pre-dawn, Sol 64. Jamie knew he should have felt sleepy, but he was wide awake. Grimly awake. He sat in his coveralls at the desk in his quarters, the glow from his laptop screen etching his face and throwing a dim, lumpy shadow across the back wall. I wonder what time it is in Boston, he asked himself. The image frozen on his screen showed Darryl C. Trumbull at his desk, staring into the camera, his face frozen in an angry scowl, a jewel-tipped pen in one hand. Jamie was studying Trumbull's image, trying to find the soul beneath the hard exterior. What does he want? Jamie asked himself. Why does he want to get rid of me? Jamie had sent a simple message to Trumbull more than an hour earlier. In the interest of harmony among the ICU board members, I am willing to step down as mission director, he had said, providing that Stacy Dezhurova is named to the position in my place, and an excursion to the possible cliff dwelling in Tithonium Chasma is inserted into our mission schedule. The words harmony among the ICU board were a code phrase aimed at assuring funding for the next expedition. Trumbull had threatened to hold up the funding unless Jamie was removed from his position. Without putting it in so many words, Jamie was offering his head for an assurance of funds, and a promise to allow him to investigate the cliff dwelling. Now he sat and waited for Trumbull's reply, watching a still image of the old man taken from one of his earlier messages. He opened a window on the screen and checked the current time in Boston. 2:12 p.m. Trumbull should be there. If he wasn't, somebody should have responded with that information by now. No, he's thinking it over. Or maybe he just wants to let me stew in my own sweat for a while. That would be like his kind of man, the power trip. All ego and no consideration for anyone else. Maybe he's trying to talk it over with Dex, Jamie thought. But as he stared at Trumbull's image on the little screen, he realized that this man doesn't talk things over with anyone. He makes up his own mind for his own reasons and steamrollers anyone who objects, or tries to. Jamie had spent a bad hour or so after Vijay stormed out of the galley. He wondered how the others would feel if he resigned, wondered what Dex would do in particular. I'm not doing Stacy a favor, he told himself, putting her on the hot seat. But it's got to be done, he realized. Trumbull will just make so much trouble that the next expedition will never get off the ground. That was what had decided him. There has to be a third expedition, and a fourth, and a 50th, and a 500th. We have a whole world to explore. I can't let my own ego get in the way. I'd be just as bad as Trumbull. He had paced back and forth in his tiny cubicle for miles, 4 steps at a time, from the bunk to the accordion-folded door and back again for hours, worrying, balancing, tearing himself apart, trying to find the right path. And at last he realized what it was, what it had to be. This isn't a contest of wills between Trumbull and me. It's not a battle of alpha males between Dex and me. This is about the exploration of Mars, nothing more, and nothing less. The decision freed him, calmed him. He sat at his desk, opened the laptop, and sent his message to Trumbull. Now he waited for the old man's response, and realized, down deep where the hollow tremors of fear begin, that he had lost Vijay, lost her respect, lost her love. The message light on the laptop began to blink like a yellow eye winking at him. Jamie touched the key, and Trumbull's still image seemed to come to life. There he was, behind the same desk, with a different pen in his hand, looking at Jamie with a gruff expression on his cold, grim face. "I got your message," Trumbull said, his voice rough and gravelly. "I'll see to it that the board accepts your resignation. I presume you'll transmit a similar message to each of the individual board members." Trumbull shifted uneasily on his massive, high-backed leather chair, fiddled with his pen, then continued. about your recommendation